Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome each one to Cornerstone. I'm going to jump right into the message. I'm talking today about something that is not talked about a whole lot in churches. And I think it should be. I think it needs to be addressed. And today we're going to be talking about the Jezebel spirit. And the spirit of Jezebel is not found in the Bible anywhere as far as named by the spirit. But you can see the effects of it in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. There's areas of where in both Old and New Testament where Jezebel's talked about. And the spirit of Jezebel is one of the most dominating evil authorities over our nation today. It's in our churches, it's in our families, our society, our church, our families, individuals have been attacked, have been infiltrated, they've been sabotaged, and they've been robbed by Jezebel. And you may ask, where did Jezebel come from? Where did all this start? Well, I'm going to jump in with first, out of a little bit of scripture out of 1 Kings chapter 16. I'm going to look at verses 30 through 33. The Bible says, "And Ahab, the son of Omar, did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. And as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. He took for his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. He erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab made an Asher. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him." And I'm going to mention this a time or two later on in the message. I'm going to go ahead and mention it now. I challenge you to read through 1 and 2 Kings at some point in time. And just learn all you can about this person, Jezebel. Because that spirit of Jezebel is affecting every aspect of life today. Jezebel is no respecter of persons. The spirit is genderless, but it seems to work effectively through women and sensitive male personality types. So tolerating the spirit, one of the last letters of the church, strongly addresses the subject of tolerating the Jezebel spirit. I'm going to read out of Revelation chapter 2, verse 20 through 23. The Bible says, "But I have this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexual immorality. Behold, I will throw her onto a sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her I will throw into great tribulation until they repent of her works. And I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am he who searches minds and hearts and will give to each of you according to your works." So here we see a clear picture of how Jezebel led astray some of the best servants in the church of Thyatira. She led them into wrong teachings. She led them into sexual immorality. And we also see how Jesus gave a strong warning on the judgment of that Jezebel spirit. Jezebel seeks to destroy true worship. It misleads, it corrupts in churches, in families. It tries to neutralize the lives of church leaders by all means that it can. By physical illness, by financial misconduct, debilitating discouragements, which we call burnout, by sexual enticement. And while I was getting this message together, I got to thinking, because I have read a lot on this. I've listened to podcasts, I've listened to other sermons, I've read articles, I've read all kinds of things, and just thinking back, think of all the preachers that you can think of, especially television preachers, that has fell into this, that's fell into that sexual enticement, that has fell into that immoral acts that they do. And it would be easy for it to happen to any of us. The devil would like nothing more than to tear down a church by using that spirit. Jezebel is out to destroy the family, the morality of people, and God-oriented authority, God-ordained authority. This spirit is behind disorder in churches and families today. So now, to deal with this spirit and to kind of know about this spirit, you're going to have to know about the spirit. You're going to have to learn some characteristics of the spirit. So this is the long part of the sermon. I think I've got 10 points in this that goes over the characteristics of Jezebel. And I could have got 25 or 30 more. I just picked 10. But the first characteristic of Jezebel is she wants to be in control, or that spirit wants to be in control. The Jezebel spirit is always motivated by its own agenda. And it will relentlessly pursue it. I can't talk this morning. It is intent to get what it wants. There may be one in every ministry. There may be one in every church. There may be one in every family. And if there's not, there probably will be at some point in time. But they want to dominate. They want to arrange and fix everybody. And I'm not saying that everybody that's a fixer is a Jezebel spirit. They're not. But you just got to look out for it. They want to be in control of everything that goes on. They want to have control. And they accomplish a lot of this by the next point that we're going to look at, and that's attacking, controlling, dominating, or manipulating people. Queen Jezebel, she went totally against political authority of the kingdom. And then we see in the church of Thyatira, I knew I'd have problems with that word, Thyatira. We see the spiritual authority in that church was backwards. The goal of the Jezebel spirit is to conquer or to neutralize the prophet, because a discerning pastor, a prophet, or a Christian leader is Jezebel's greatest enemy. A lot of times they hate or they distrust the men, and especially males in authority. Now keep in mind, the Jezebel spirit can be male or female. It don't have to be one or the other. But they have a problem with male authority, especially in ministry. A lot of times they'll cause the ones in authority to doubt their decisions. They'll cause them to doubt their capabilities. They may even cause them to doubt their manhood. their worth. And that can go on and on and on. They will not submit to God's delegated authority. They control and they scorn. They like sarcasm. They like a sharp tongue. Public humiliation. Emotional outbursts, nagging, and endless demands. In other words, nothing is ever enough. But you know, they're not always brash. They're not always overt. They're not always aggressive or bossy. A lot of times they're kind of subtle. They have outward graciousness. But just as determined to have their own way. Sometimes they may resort to control by tears, by fear, rejection, guilt, silence, self-pity. So that list goes on and on. So the next characteristic we're going to look at is they cause fear. They cause flight and discouragement. A lot of times they'll cause a spiritual leader to flee their appointed place. If you read through 1st, 2nd Kings, 2nd Kings, you'll see where Elijah fled from her. That spirit is responsible for hundreds of resignations of pastors and spiritual leaders a year. But we never hear about it. It's never taught. It's never talked about a whole lot. And I feel like, I'm just going to kind of throw this in here. I feel like that where our church is growing. And I think that God was wanting to warn us of this spirit. I think he was wanting to get that warning out to us to look out because it may be coming your way. Some effects of being Jezebeled are debilitating discouragement, confusion, depression, loss of vision. And loss of vision is loss of vision in the church. I mean, it's not that she's going to strike you blind. It's loss of vision in the church. Disorientation, worthlessness, burnout, we've talked about. Physical illness. Financial insufficiencies. You think about it. You think of something bad, that spirit can probably use it against you. Including death. Or at least a death wish. That spirit of Jezebel would like nothing more than to see us struck dead. A lot of times that spirit will cut off the lives of spiritual leadership. A lot of times that person that the spirit's affecting will question the reputation or the character of that leader. That spirit is their natural leaders. And going through these, it sounds like I'm really putting people down. God loves all. Yeah. And we're going to see in the back part of the good part of this message that God can use everybody. God can use the ones that's been affected by this spirit just as much as he can use any of us. But they're natural leaders. We see that they try to influence by winning people over, winning others over. They want to win endorsements of everybody. They want to be allies with everybody. They want to influence everybody. They try to establish that bond with them. They want to be in leadership. They're self-promoting. They proclaim themselves to be prophets sometimes. They try to get people to follow them, and then they get those people off track from God. They'll get their followers, and then they'll lead them astray. And then they will take their followers and they'll split a church. They'll take them to another. They'll start their own church, or they'll start a new ministry or whatever. That's where a lot of church splits comes in. They take their following and they leave. It's a blackmailing spirit. A lot of times they'll say, "You owe me whatever," or "You need me. If you don't do what I want, I will whatever." The next characteristic are that they're insecure and they're wounded. They're trying to fill a hole, something that only God can fill. They seek affirmation by stroking their own ego. They want to be up front. They want to be seen. They want to be the center of attention. They want to hold those key positions. They want to be accepted, and they want to be approved. They want to please people. They want to be popular. They seek security in the good opinion of others about what they do. In other words, they operate on performance-based acceptance. They strive to prove something about themselves to others, and they try to prove their worth. They're perfectionist and they're legalistic. Randy mentioned it earlier. They're legalistic. They always have deep, unhealed wounds. And I'm going to look at three or four areas where they have those wounds and the sources they come from. Rejection is the first one. Early in life, they may have abandonment or emotional remoteness by their father or their mother. They may be affected by illness, by premature death of a loved one or something. They may be neglected, isolated, may be rejected by their significant other. And one example of that would be because of physical appearance. They have resistance to authority because of bad relationships or bad experience with authority figures in school, in church, in family. They've been abused. They have fear, they have insecurities and self-preservation. Fear is the principal entry for the Jezebel spirit. They seek to control in order to feel secure. And then they have bitterness. A lot of times that spirit, that Jezebel spirit, will take up residence in a person after a wound from the past, usually rejection or insecurity in some type or some kind of form, something. The next characteristic is they're deceptive. They're going to get what they want at any cost and all costs. But a lot of times they can disguise what they want, or they can disguise the real reason behind what they want. They use flattery. Sometimes they try to win you over to their domination, they'll tell you what you want to hear to win you over. They're masters of manipulation. guilt. Sometimes they like to discredit others. A lot of times they exhibit false humility or submission. While they feed on their own pride and they seek to get their way, they may dominate, control, and manipulate to gain their own agenda. And this mocks God's order. Because there's no true heart submission, it's just pretense. A lot of times they're extremely jealous and they perceive to be a threat or somebody that gets close to somebody that they've influenced. They get really jealous and controlling over that person. They try to play people against each other. They try to send separation and strife into the strongest relationship. The next characteristic is that they're proud, independent, and rebellious. 1 Samuel 15:23 says that rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft and stubbornness as bad as worshiping idols. So because you have rejected the command of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. This is control or knowledge through any other means than the Holy Spirit. Rebellion and independent spirits say that I will not do it God's way. I'll do it my way. I'll get what I want. That Jezebel spirit, they'll exalt their own will above God or God's will. They won't submit to the Holy Spirit. When they flee from accountability, a lot of times this is considered idolatry of self and pride. They say, I will ascend and have more influence, or I am more important than you are. I'm the center of attention and it's the center of the conversation. But pride also resists correction from anybody. Because of its insecurity in identity. The self is too fragile to receive correction even in love. So they put up walls of separation. They use various other means to avoid correction, like tears, like discrediting the corrector. A lot of male-female rivalry is rooted in the control issue of the Jezebel spirit. In trying to get around God's order, they open their whole family up to satanic attack. There's a maturation process in the Jezebel spirit. And I found this interesting. Because it's an addiction to power or control, if it's confronted early, there's hope for repentance. But once it becomes fully mature and well entrenched, Jezebels typically refuse to see that there's anything wrong. They think everything's fine. And without acknowledgement, there's no repentance. A lot of times they lack true repentance, which is confession and willingness for God to change what is revealed. In Thyatira, Jezebel was given time to repent, but she did not. The next characteristic is it takes an Ahab to let Jezebels be effective and operate unchallenged. Found this point interesting also. Okay, think back, the first scripture we read, we seen Ahab, kind of led her astray. And that just opened the door. So Jezebels do not operate without an Ahab to enable them. Every Jezebel problem is an Ahab problem. So you think, what did Ahab do wrong? He should not have neglected his responsibility as head of the house or head of the nation that he was king of. His family and his nation was destroyed because of his neglect. And we can see that today. We can see that happening today with our families and our churches and everything going on. We can see this same effect going on today. The leader who stands against Jezebel must have discernment and identifying spirits. They must have a strong commitment to rightly divide the word of God and a strong sense of submission to his or her own accountability. We see that God removed Ahab and replaced him with Jesus, who dealt with Jezebel. We need to pray for the Ahabs to be healed also, to be strong and to be released into the fullness of God and their purpose for in life. The next characteristic of Jezebel is they're a religious spirit. Both Jezebel of the Old Testament and of Revelation operated under the cover of religion. But it was a toxic faith. Jezebels appeared to be religious. They can talk the talk. And they have a form of godliness. Think back in Timothy, it says that there'll be a form of godliness, but lacking the power thereof, denying the power thereof. Their religious deeds are done for all to see. Often they claim to pray more, to study the Bible more, to know more about worship, more about ministry, more about intercession, more about missions. Anything you can name that deals with religion, that deals with Christianity, they know it. A lot of times they'll target any and all aspects of ministry for ambition and control. A word from God is a crowbar for leverage. But we have to check the fruit. True spiritual gifts attract people to Jesus, not to themselves. Counterfeit gifts emphasize personal gifts. They attract the gifts inward toward the person. Self-promoting. They're seeking a following. Like we said before, they want to gather their group up and steer them away from God and out the door. That's what they're wanting to do. John 16:13-15 says that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. Jezebel's claimed discernment, but is it real? False discernment is based on mistrust, on fear, on suspicion, hidden agendas, criticism, bitterness, stirring up strife, keeping the pot stirred. And then finally, the last characteristic that we'll talk about today is that their families are often out of order. The Jezebel syndrome may come through inheritance from the family. The best Jezebels learn at their mother's knees. This spirit is contagious. Jezebels breed Jezebels. Their families are usually out of order. While reading through this, I got to thinking about the series we just finished, the Misaligned series. And we can see so much through that series that affects, that is being affected by this spirit. And then we've talked about sin that's passed down from generation to generation, generational sin. That's what this is. You start out bad, and it's just going to continue to pass it down generation to generation. We have to stop it. It has to be stopped. God made women to be soft and strong, submitted and influential. He designed men for loving headship and spiritual leadership. But in the families of Jezebels, the mates may have spiritual shortcomings and fail at the role of leaders in the family. And like we said before, a little bit, children raised in this atmosphere, they wind up having to take sides. They have to pick one side or the other. They grow up insecure. They may disrespect their fathers, or they're manipulating or controlling. A lot of times the sons become sexual aggressors, trying to dominate women or have doubts about their masculinity. Daughters become aggressive. They reject their womanhood. They distrust men. They seek to conquer. So we've looked a little bit about the Jezebel spirit. Now, how do we avoid that spirit? At least half the battle is won when we recognize the operation of that spirit. All of us, that we have to, first of all, look at ourselves. We have to examine our lives. We have to make sure that spirit's not dealing in our life. We have to have that spirit out of our life so God can be free to move. If that spirit is affecting your life, know the harm that's being objected by that spirit. Recognize that spirit. There's three realities that I'm going to talk briefly about that diminish the effects of the Jezebel spirit. All three deal with God's grace for covering and protection. The first one is personal submission. You need to personally submit to God for Him to develop your godly character. You need to be equipped by the Holy Spirit and enlightened by the Word of God to know what is true and therefore what is false. Knowing the heart of God heals potential places for wounds that would otherwise be allowed to fester. Those wounds that would allow this spirit to come into your life. You need to have God-directed submission for your family. You need to submit to the order of spiritual authority in the church where God has placed you. So why do we need to deal with this spirit? First off, we need to deal with it for love's sake. As I mentioned before, God loves these people that are affected by this spirit. They need to be healed of their causes, and God wants to redeem them. He wants to turn them away from this curse. He wants to use them for major influences of righteousness. Just think of what the testimony that these people could have once God heals them from this spirit. They're deceived. A lot of times they don't recognize that this spirit has a grip on their life. A lot of times they're blind to this knowledge of their true selves and this spirit. God deals redemptively with these spirits, with these people. He has a place for everybody. Because He has anointed and gifted everyone for a special place in the body of Christ. Redeemed and set free, ex-Jezebels are important because of their heart for God and leadership qualities when submitted under God's authority. Like I said, think of the testimony that these people would have. Reading through, getting this together, I thought about Paul. I thought about Saul. You know, how the testimony he had by... You know, he was killing Christians, and then to get turned and just the person he became. People affected by this spirit could have that same effect on the kingdom of God. Why do we deal with the spirit? We deal with the spirit for the church's sake. This is a crucial issue so that we can pray down revival and that we can breathe life into the next generation. And we can anoint the next generation just like Elijah did. By not dealing with this spirit in the church, there'll be strife, there'll be turmoil, there'll be trouble. There'll be church splits, there'll be people mad, there'll be, you name it. It'll be there. There's a lot of churches that split in or close down because of this spirit. Once this spirit gets a good foothold, it's gonna force its way in. And it's gonna spread. So why else do we deal with the spirit for the kingdom's sake? God has a particular hatred for this spirit because it destroys His true image in the family and defies His true loving order in the church. 2 Kings records the total destruction of Jezebel. The church that deals with this will have authority to bring multitudes and even nations into the kingdom. Revelation 2, 26 through 28 says that to all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end, to them I will give authority over all nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They will have the same authority I received from my Father, and I will also give them the morning star. That's a great prize for winning this war. Jesus gave strong promise to the church that deals with these spirits according to the discernment of God. We need to deal with this spirit because of the children's sake. This is a generational curse that can only be broken when God confronts it with His truth. Truth always comes with His power for repentance and for freedom. By not dealing with this spirit, our children will grow up and continue to use the destructive spirit against families, against churches, against their job, against their work, and all areas of their life will be affected by this spirit if it's not stopped. We need to deal with this spirit for the sake of obedience. God held it against the church at Thyatira that they tolerated this Jezebel, that they left her alone. They allowed her to remain. They took no action against her. By not dealing with this spirit, we can see the entire church at Thyatira was affected by allowing this spirit to continue in the church. We have to be obedient to God. And we have to deal with this spirit when it comes against us. If we allow it to continue, we are guilty of the sin of disobedience. We have to deal with it for our soul's sake. The revelation of Jesus is promised to those who overcome the Jezebel spirit. He promises more revelation of himself and will bless those who stand up for what is right. By allowing the Jezebel spirit to continue, we are ultimately affecting our relationship with God. We have to deal with it for our health's sake. Tolerating this spirit can cause sickness. By allowing this spirit to have reign, we can cause ourselves to be affected by sickness in our bodies and spiritually. Our personal health is at risk and our spiritual health is at risk by allowing this spirit to continue. So how to deal with the spirit? First off, we need to allow God to deal with you. Let God deal with us, with you and I, before we do surgery on a Jezebel in somebody else. He desires you to be a temple for His presence, wherein Jezebels find no place. Be transformed and clean before God about this, not just informed and armed to get after others. God dealt with the Jezebels centuries ago. He can do it again. The second thing we need to do is to turn on the light to dispel darkness. Simply turn on the light. Responding according to the flesh is not the answer. Don't retaliate. That spirit feeds off of that. It'll multiply. The spirit of Jezebel is defeated by name and nature of Jesus working in and through us. His love, gentleness, meekness, humility, and blessing. We are following the Lamb of God, and you and are only ready for victory with the Lamb-like nature is working in us. The next way to deal with it is to repent. If you're convicted that this spirit may be operating in you, you need to repent, you need to renounce it, you need to get rid of it. Ask God for forgiveness and forgiveness of others. Submit to God and resist the Jezebel spirit. Receive God's power to forsake it and move only under the control of His Holy Spirit. And then finally, we need to forgive. If you recognize that you've been Jezebel, in prayer, forgive that offender. Because it's not the person, it's the spirit. Renounce their grip on you. Bless them and release yourself to be controlled by Jesus only and His love and grace. So in closing, I encourage you to read, like I said before. Read through 1 and 2 Kings. Read through Revelation, talking about the church of Thyatira. I cannot say that word. Learn more about this spirit. Learn and stay familiar with the characteristics of it. Learn how to recognize it. Make sure you do it through the discernment of God, though. Look at yourself and repent if God reveals to you that you're dealing with this spirit. Forgive others that may have used this spirit against you. Most of all, seek guidance of God when having any dealings with this spirit. Always seek His guidance. That's it for the message. I ask every head bowed, every eye closed.